Hi, everybody. So good to be with you. And what a blessing these STEPS classes are for just a lot of the good material that Pastor Myron has put together for us, but also just to be with each other and get to know each other. I know that after I visit the STEPS, whether I go through it or I come and teach on a Sunday or a Wednesday, to go through the hallways and realize that there's more people that I know now just from being here. It's pretty rich. So today we're going to talk about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. But first I thought I'd tell you a little bit about me. And Alan and Laura, when it's time, I don't want to get into the small group time. So I think Pastor Myron said about 40 minutes from now. Is that about right? Okay, good. All right. So my name is Rick Kua. I am one of the pastoral care pastors here at Grace Chapel. Diana and I, my wife, we've been married 46 years, and we have two daughters, a son-in-law, and two lovely grandkids that I am so blessed, and we are blessed that they live only 1 mile away. As Dave Kreekhack, who you may have already heard from, would say, we're spoiled rotten. So we totally love that. Diana and I came to this church about 10 years ago. We both were raised and grew up and lived in Syracuse, New York until we were, I don't even know, the math, maybe in our mid-30s. And we've been here now 32 years from Syracuse, and just love it. We love the area. And when we came to this church, as I said, 10 years ago, the first day we were here, we just knew it was right. And it's so funny that I hear more and more testimonies of people that have come to Grace Chapel, and it kind of goes something like that, you know? It felt good. The word was strong. The worship was great. The people, everybody was friendly, you know? And it just felt right. So 8 years ago, Pastor Steve called me into his office with the executive pastor at that time, Jim Sterling, and they didn't have any pastoral care pastor or department or any of that, and they asked me if I wanted to come on, part-time, maybe 20 hours a week, to just be available and, to help serve the needs of the people. And I prayed about it for about, 5 seconds and said, absolutely, when do I start? And he said, tomorrow we have a funeral. So I'm thinking, okay, let's go, diving right in. So that was 8 years ago, and now we have 4 people in our department and growing, and we're all kind of like running a mile a minute to make sure we don't miss anything. That's our heart. We don't want to miss stuff. So I will say to you guys, as I say to everybody, if you know something that's going on, and you see us or you want to just make us aware of it, that's great. Now, there are sometimes with some families that, when there's a crisis, they circle the wagons. I get that. They're figuring, we got it, we're good, we're a very tight-knit group, and as long as things are looked after, we're happy about that, and we can lift them up and pray. And the other thing is that the life groups that we are in are a first line of defense. So a lot of times the life group totally supports the situation. But we just want to be available to help any way we can. What we do in pastoral care, among other things, it's marriage counseling, premarital counseling. We officiate weddings. We officiate celebration of life services. We go to hospitals and nursing homes and make visits to people that are hardshipped health-wise, and we look after the prayer team. We have about a little over 150 people on our prayer team that go to the altar each week to pray, and we make sure we keep our eyes peeled for folks that are wired for that and have gone through the steps and all of that, and we just keep adding on because we are totally growing. And I know you've probably heard Pastor Steve say that what we do here, it's not like the movie Field of Dreams, if we build it, they will come. It's like, no, they have come, so we have to build. And we have expanded over the years many times. Diana and I came when it was the first phase of the building, as I said, 10 years ago, and we've seen 2 expansions, and now the purchase of more land and the growth that we have that way. And it's exciting because it's all God's business, right? To see him doing what he's doing and for us to be a part of it just by our presence, if not our intercession, if not our volunteering and service. It's just, it's great to connect that way. This is a point in the week, I know, for all of us where we come and we get fueled up and filled up to go out and do what we're called to do in the workplace as well. So that's it, pastoral care. What else can I tell you? I got saved in 1977. The short story on that is that Diana, my wife, got saved 5 years before me. I won't give you her whole testimony now, but it's pretty wonderful. And it took me, the hard-headed Italian, 5 years to really realize, no, I had to make, this is, God is real. We believe that. I believe it. And I saw the incredible change in my wife and even in the people that were at the church that she went to at the time. They had something that I didn't have. So I accepted the Lord in 77, and we've been serving God together since then. So that's kind of just a little bit of stuff about me. I'm going to dive into this teaching, and I know you'll have your small group time and then maybe a little Q&A time for me afterwards, and I will look forward to that. So Jesus, we love you, and we just pray once again. We thank you for Alan and Laura. We thank you for everyone in this class that has come to know and love one another, and we pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would just be with us, give us wisdom and discernment in our time together, and hopefully we can all leave here having a little better understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to read you something from a book that John Bevere wrote called The Holy Spirit, An Introduction. We believers have been equipped to forcefully advance the kingdom of God on earth. The church is the body of Christ on earth. Jesus no longer physically resides here. We are the ambassadors and warriors of God's kingdom. We are the ones who carry and administer his transforming power to those in need of restoration, freedom, and redemption. But we can never be Christ's body to a lost and dying world without the empowerment of his Spirit. Satan and his cohorts are not scared of you, but they are terrified of who you are in Christ and of the power you wield as a son or daughter of the Most High. I love that. I love the reminder that we get to know who we are in Christ, our identity. I know you've probably already gone through that in this class, but I would encourage you to just meditate on what your identity is in Jesus. Because if we really know who we are and we keep that at the front of our mind, then like the word says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can grab onto every other scripture that has been given to us for our instruction and our edification and our growth, and we can believe it and move forward with it. Myron's got some beautiful notes here. We're not going to be able to touch on every single point, but the main points we'll touch on, and we'll write in the missing word there. But I would encourage you, when you're in your own personal study time, to go through these notes. Make your own notes. Get your Bible out and look up those scriptures and just dig in and maybe hit a commentary or two. And this is the way, the word says to study to show ourselves approved. And this is the way we grow in Christ. Understanding the Holy Spirit. Number one, he is by far the most misunderstood person in the Godhead. I'm going to tell you the simple, just a little cliff. I love cliff notes. I love cliff notes. I love bottom line stuff. I'm that guy that, okay, this is true confessions. I know we're taping and all of that. So, but it's kind of like I can hear a long story and I'm in my mind saying, land the plane, Give me the bottom. What's the bottom line here? That's just the way I'm wired. I can't help it. I'm wired that way. And there's no disrespect to many people I know very well who can tell a beautiful story. It's not an indictment against anybody's method. I'm just telling you my method. So I'm going to give you a couple of points about the Holy Spirit that I think it's bottom line stuff. And for some of you who are studiers, dig in, drill deep, be a theologian, do like the Bereans did, study. And for others, that it's helpful to have that bullet point list of stuff. So the Holy Spirit, we'll get back to these notes in a minute. When you got saved, you all saved? Anybody need to be saved? Because we can get that out of the way real quick. You all good? Okay, when we all got saved, God is a triune God, right? Father, Son, you all good? That's what I thought, okay. So, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's what we got at salvation. So we've got the indwelling Holy Spirit in us at that point. But the neat thing about the Holy Spirit is that there is more power that we can draw and benefit by from him, not an it, a person, by praying. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Give me wisdom for this meeting I'm going into, or give me wisdom for this intervention or counseling time, whatever. That's the way we pray. He will come in and he will magnify himself within us. And I like to look at it. I can give you two examples of what happens when you pray for the Holy Spirit. Now, again, you got the Holy Spirit. It's salvation. You got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But you want to ask for more power. It's kind of like, you know, we used to have a gas stove back up in Syracuse, New York. A little cheap stove, but it had a pilot light. We lit the pilot light. It kind of remained on, right? Okay, Holy Spirit. But then when I had to fry up something nice, I just hit that thing on high and that flame had just burst up. That's the Holy Spirit. You pray for more power. You ask for wisdom, and that's going to come into you. It's like we've got the pilot light, and that's all good and 100% God and all of that, but we read in his word, and when you look through your notes, you'll see it, that it was this to be filled with the Holy Spirit was a continual event. The same people being filled over and over again. How many of you, before you go into a situation, pray first? You do, right? And sometimes you know, there's a little fear almost. And I've been in many situations where I'm thinking, oh gosh, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm nervous about this. I'm concerned. This is a big deal. And so I pray, fill me, Holy Spirit. And what happens during that little visit is that usually the Holy Spirit calls scriptures to mind, gives me words for somebody else. And have you been in a situation where you say something to somebody else in a counseling fashion, a loving moment of counseling, and you think in your head, oh, that was good. Right? But this is the Holy Spirit. He gives us stuff we don't even know we have, right? It's the pilot light going from just settled to like filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. The other thing is, glow-in-the-dark stuff, right? I'm going back to my Catholic roots now. Not that we were the only denomination that had glow-in-the-dark things, but we had everything. We had the saints, the apostles, the nativity, the farm animals, everything glowed, okay? So now what I learned about these things and what you know about these things is there's always a little glow. You get one of the glow-in-the-dark things, shut the lights off, you can find that thing because it's glowing, kind of like the pilot light, right? But if you want to charge that up, what do?
Put it in the light.
We used to almost burn it on that light bulb, that probably 25 watt we had when we were kids. And then all of a sudden, now you shut the light off and it's glowing. So another example of what happens when we call upon the Holy Spirit. He is there for us. He's always in us. And we pray, empower us. Give us your word. Give us what this person needs. Speak through us to this other person. give us wisdom on a decision we have to make. Whatever it is, it's good. So you got the Holy Spirit at salvation. You need to be continually filled, and I think we've got an idea of what that looks like. And the Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Jesus and point other people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not the main event. He does not serve a private agenda. His purpose is to point us to Jesus. We benefit from His involvement in our lives. There is a benefit. I know if I had a private time with each of you, and I would love to have that kind of time just to get to know y'all better, but I know there have been times probably in your lives when you had that encounter with somebody and you asked God for help and God gave you what you needed. That's the Holy Spirit, as we said earlier. He empowers us for ministry. The whole purpose of getting closer to God is to be, it's to empower us personally and as the church to just to be able to love on and minister to people. When I tell people that I'm a pastoral care pastor, in the same breath, I let everybody know that, hey, we're all pastoral care people, aren't we? Right? People in our lives, our husbands, wives, kids, parents, friends, neighbors, we all provide that to other people one way or the other. The fuel for that is the Holy Spirit. So again, just that's kind of the general stuff. If somebody said to me, Rick, you got 5 minutes, that would be it. Know who the Holy Spirit is. Love God. Love people. Call upon the Holy Spirit to be filled. The person, He's a person, and the work, pointing us to Jesus and giving us wisdom for every situation. Now you know how to go about it. And now it's just a matter of each of us, like, you know, the word says, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, it's between us and God. I'm just telling you what beautiful stuff is available through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So number one, as I said, he is by far the most misunderstood person in the Godhead. He's not an it. It's Him. He's a person. Number two, He is beloved and held in high esteem by the Father and the Son. Matthew 12:32. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. So, I would say the Holy Spirit is beloved and held in high esteem by Father God. When I first heard that, I got very nervous, and I thought, oh my gosh, have I done that? Anybody else or just me, you know? If you're a true believer and you've got God in your heart, you're not going there. You're not going to do that. This is not something where every day you got to worry about it. But do we need to know what the Scripture says? Yes, yes, love, cherish the Holy Spirit and God. I mean, God, again, the Trinity, do it. But we don't have to be worried. We just have to live our lives the way God commanded us to live. Live a righteous, good life, that's based on the Word of God. And while we know this is true, you won't go there. You won't go there, you know? Sometimes people would say, can you get unsaved, you know? And I don't want to get into a long spiritual discussion on this, but I would say this. If you truly love God and you are truly born again, then no, you know? I mean, because you know the truth. You're not going to walk away from that. Again, three, He is a person, one of three in the Godhead. So the write-in on number three is person. A lot of notes here. Dig into these notes. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 4:30. You know, when we have wisdom from the Holy Spirit to do something, right, and we choose not to do it, I think that, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit, if I were him, I'd think, come on, man, I put it right in your lap. Why are you going the other way? Why are you doing something contrary? I was, years ago, I didn't share this with you in the beginning, but I am a musician. That's where I am a child of God, saved by grace. I am his child first. That's my identity. But part of how he's made me is as a musician. And I spent a lot of my years touring, making records and touring and playing with this band or my bands or whatever it was. And I can remember being in Italy on tour once, and we were going to play outside on the soccer field. And I had my band with me, and I had some special guests with me. It was a big deal, tour, you know, all that. And, man, the clouds were hanging right about here, outdoors. You could almost feel the mist in the air. And so I talked to the promoter and say, okay, so what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? He says, oh, brother, where's your faith? No, there's the state. We're going to go right here. God's not going to bring the rain. And I kind of went along with him, and it was, I'm telling you, it was torrential. And I will never forget my team of people drenched, running with their instruments to get these instruments out of the rain. I have never forgot that. And I said, I mean, I know never is a strong word, but to the best of my ability, unless I totally lose my mind, when the Holy Spirit tells me what the right thing to do is, I'm going to do it. Even if it means, in love, a confrontation, you know, to say, you got to trust me. Because if we went inside and had a beautiful time and it didn't rain, so who cares, right? So that's it. You just got to trust God and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and then act upon it. Act upon it. How many of you have said in a certain situation, man, I really knew what to do, but I didn't do it, you know? Now, we all make mistakes. We all do that. There's plenty in the Word of God that'll remind us of our humanness.
There was a time where I thought I knew, but I really didn't.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. And there was what was said is there was a time that we knew, but we really didn't. And I think that's true in all of our lives, because this is... our education in Christ is an ongoing event as well. So you're absolutely right. We just got to keep digging in. Number four, he glorifies Jesus. Again, everything that the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit's job is to point to Jesus, lift up Jesus, glorify Jesus. Some charismatic circles, I want to phrase this the right way. First of all, I am looking for the truth. I'm looking to love God and love people. I don't care what the denomination is. I have spent time in a bunch of different denominations. And regarding the Holy Spirit, I have seen what I think is some kind of confusing stuff and maybe even some abuse, even though that's a hard word. When the Holy Spirit becomes the main event and people are trying to go to a place that's mostly for sensationalism and I'll even say this for show, you know, you've got to know and discern if that's right or if that's not. I don't say anything against the people that are so hungry for the Holy Spirit that they're willing to do anything. Their motive is pure, right? We used to say sometimes when, you know, the term slain in the Spirit. I don't know, for some of you that don't understand, that means when somebody prays for you and the Holy Spirit overpowers you and you just pass out, you know, and somebody might catch you or put a little cloth over you, whatever. It's not an uncommon thing. Can the Holy Spirit do that? Does the Holy Spirit do that? Absolutely. But there are times where, you know, in our zeal for Jesus, we may do what we've come to call a courtesy drop, In other words, we want to be courteous to the pastor or to the event or to everybody, and we just might, just by our own strength, go down. But at the same time, there's plenty of people where the Holy Spirit overcomes them, right? And I have been in that place as well. So you can see where it's not unusual to have some, a lot of truth, but also sometimes some error, right? So what do? You trust your discernment. And if you discern that it's God and it's genuine, wonderful. If it's not, well, you're not going to get up and start yelling, but you just know maybe I'm not going to go to, you know, Holy Spirit fire part two. You know what I mean? Whatever. Guys, I hope I'm not being misunderstood. This is hard, hard stuff to talk about, but I'd rather talk about it and risk a little confusion than leave it undiscussed, because these are the questions that a lot of us want to know about. So let's just be careful, use your discernment. Number five, he was a companion to Old Testament believers. Number six, he empowers New Testament believers. So what is that? You look at number five. He was a companion to Old Testament believers. I mean, God is a triune God. It was from the beginning. You know, God always was, and, you know, who is God? God is love. I mean, I can remember this from my catechism days. We used the catechism, and for you ex-Catholics, and we learned a lot about God that way. He empowers New Testament believers, just what we're talking about, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Number seven, there are different portraits of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, and there's plenty to look up there. Matthew 3:16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Matthew 3:16. Number eight, the Holy Spirit can be resisted. Yeah, we can resist the Holy Spirit. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Let's not resist the Holy Spirit. I'll keep going back to this. Let's call upon the Holy Spirit for the fullness of what he wants to give us, right? If we just resist because we want to do our own thing, I mean, this is a grievous thing. In our marriage counseling, a lot of times, I will say, we see husbands and wives who get so hard-headed that they are not going to come together. They just are not going to do it. And Diana and I sometimes call it the alien abduction. You know, when all of a sudden the husband or the wife, they go nuts. It's the same person, they look the same, but they're totally resisting everything that they know. Now, I'm not saying there's not problems to deal with, because there are. I think we all have stuff that we need to deal with. But now and then we resist what God has told us because we selfishly want to do our own thing. That's the way it is. We're going to go our own way. We're making our own plans. We won't return phone calls. We won't talk to anybody about this. And anything short of an intervention or an ambush, right, you're just not going to get to talk with that person. That's it. Unless you just sequester them or her, and you're in a room and just as a, I say, like a last-ditch effort, but with God, there's never a last effort, right? But for you, you're thinking, I don't know what else to do, but let me get in this room and try and, in love, talk some sense into this person. But sometimes they will resist the Holy Spirit, And they are just, it's like an arm like this to God. No, I'm hook or crook, mistake or not, I'm going my way. And it's not just in marriage. It's in a lot of things, guys. It's in a lot of stuff. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. As we learned, the Holy Spirit can be grieved, number 9. Number 10, the Holy Spirit responds where he is invited, welcomed, and yielded to. Absolutely. You welcome the Holy Spirit in, and you go to the Holy Spirit, and you speak to him that way, and he responds to you. The work of the Holy Spirit. Number 1, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Wow, he's the comforter. Jesus left us this incredible gift. Number 2, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Number 3, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Number 4, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Number 5, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. Number 6, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Wow, don't when we think about grace, don't we all need more of that? You know, more grace for folks. You know, grace is, it's God's power. It's God's power for us to just understand people and just not go into a fit every time something happens that we don't like. The other thing, you know, when I look back at my early days as a almost believer, the thing that, you know, the word says that his kindness will lead us to repentance. You know, grace, kindness, that all kind of flows together. And I can remember the thing that had me walk down to the altar to get saved actually 3 weeks in a row until the pastor had to talk to my wife and say, tell Rick that he did it, you know. Anyway, but I just, man, when I got to that point, right, there was no question about it. But you know, we need to know that it's that tenderness that comes from you to others that will lead them to repentance. That's what it is, guys. It's beautiful. I saw people in there. I was, in those days, I was this kind of musician dude, you know, that was, I thought I was cool and, you know, had the right hair and had the right, dressed the right way and had the hot band. And I'm just telling you, this was the stuff that seemed to be important to me in those days. We all maybe have a version of that, right? And I saw people loving each other that were unusual companions. One guy, I kind of would relate to this guy, and yet he's over there hugging on somebody that kind of looked a little strange and actually asked them out to lunch for the afternoon. And I'm processing all this. And I'm saying, at first I'm saying, I don't get it. And then automatically the Holy Spirit convicted me and let me feel something in my heart to say, no, but I want that. That was beautiful to me. That's the stuff that changed everything for me. You know, it's just like when you were in school and there'd be a bunch of kids in the cafeteria sitting together and one kid over here all by himself. Man, I didn't give it much thought back then, but that breaks my heart now. And I tell people, I don't care if you tell this to your kids, or if you're an adult and that's the way it is at church or in your small group or anywhere. You see that one that's kind of astray out there? I guarantee you, there's something you've got for that person. If it's nothing more than a smile and an encouraging word, God wants to use you that way. And I'm going to tell you something else. Take that risk, because it is a risk. The risk is the guy doesn't receive. And when I say guy, you know, I'm the New Yorker, so I use that universal, that's male or female. But take that risk. And the risk is that the guy or the, you know, they don't want to receive it, or they look at you like you're an idiot, or and you're feeling embarrassed and all. You know, who cares, right? Because you're going to walk away. You're going to walk away. And chances are that person that resisted that encouragement from you or that love from you, he will think about it. He or she will think about it later. And that person that was the hardest, right, might get in their car and start to weep, because they're safe, and they couldn't go there because maybe they knew if they really received what you said, they'd come unglued and be embarrassed. So guys, let's do that. Let's love on folks. Grace. Let's use that grace that's been given to us and just look for opportunities. It's, man, it's the richest thing. And, you know, when you feel, listen, you got to know that it's God. I'm not saying just be a bull in a china closet, but I think the Holy Spirit's going to make it pretty clear by pointing people out to you. And then when you get to that point, even if you feel, I don't know, there might be a little risk I'm taking, I just say do it anyway, because you won't regret it. You know what we regret? What I regret? What I regret is missing those opportunities. And there have been something right in front of me, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to speak to him. Again, you need to speak to him. 10 minutes later, you need to speak to him. Before I know it, and I'm ready to speak to him, he left. And then I'm thinking, oh God, I missed it. And then I pray, please, Lord, forgive me first and send somebody to this man or this woman. You know, so let's act upon what God tells us. Number 7, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of supplication. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. It's in Zechariah. Guys, I want to give you plenty of time to have your small groups. And I think after that is when we do some Q&A, and I'll come back for that. Is that right? Yeah, guys, it's, if I go back to these notes are brilliant. Thank you, Pastor Myron. But like I said, as a Cliff Notes guy, a bottom line guy, I can go back to that little 5 minute or the Holy Spirit's available. You have the Holy Spirit. Let's just turn up the heat a little. It's like having a big engine under your hood and never getting out of the neighborhood. All right. Thank you.